The rest of my life is to be devoted to sharing the message of Jesus Christ in the kingdom of God with this generation and future generations. I believe that this is the reason I am still alive, and that my past experiences have prepared me for this specific moment and purpose. This is the only thing that gives my existence meaning. When I talk about sharing the good news, I am not just talking about preaching and writing books. The mysteries of the Christian faith, the Bible, and the message of Jesus Christ are being revealed at a rate that seems faster than revelation has ever occurred before. What God did in sending Jesus Christ to this earth and God's plan for mankind seem to be clearer than they've ever been. There are more teachers, prophets, and preachers bringing understanding to God's purpose for this world and what's to come than ever before. The message is a message of hope and a good future for mankind, and it's more important than ever that we make this information and revelation available to as many people as we possibly can. My focus and heart are for those who don't have access to all the tools and information, to those who have been marginalized but who seek to know God, those who would be left behind if someone didn't think about them. This not only includes the poor and disadvantaged, but also well-off, educated people, and to Christians who have chosen to not engage in traditional church formats that they have in the past. What's common about these two groups is the desire to know more, but both are hindered from attaining it through traditional means. One group is circumstantially hindered from access, and the other group, by choice, is looking for structures and methods of engagement where their time is valued more. Given the depth and volume of revelation now available, we must find ways to share this information beyond face-to-face preaching and writing books. We need to rethink the entire framework through which the gospel is shared and made available to people. We need to move beyond Sunday school classes that provide the basics of the Bible, strengthened by Sunday sermons and further reinforced by reading Christian books. We must provide a means that allows people to grow faster and deeper in the knowledge of our Lord and His plans, accessible through non-traditional or historical means. This involves creating alternative ways to enhance accessibility and accelerate the depth and speed of learning the truth. This means taking these deep revelations available to us, configuring and presenting them differently, and providing a more open and accessible delivery mechanism to people. I feel a sense of urgency about this. We have a moment to seize while the world is being reshaped. We can create something lasting that will endure into the future when the malleability of the world slows and systems become more rigid. We must seize the moment. We must curate the content that has been and is being produced that explains God's plan and the Christian faith, and put it into forms of presentation and recorded content that allow for deeper and faster learning of kingdom principles. I've always known this, but what's been revealed to me in the last few months, which I didn't know when we began this journey almost a year ago, is the power and the importance of the curator. God has shown me that this is not just about taking random messages or the messages that deliver the most insight at any moment. It is about taking everything that's available and weaving it into a story that fits a broader message of what God is currently doing in the earth. This means that the curator has to be in tune with God to see and know what he's doing in the earth, so as to know what content to select and how it's to be woven for his purposes. I thought that I would be able to simply put forth the messages in accessible platforms that help them to be understood more quickly, and that I, the current curator, could fade into the background, unseen and unheard. I've since come to understand that the curator becomes an extremely powerful preacher because they take the content of extremely powerful preachers and weave them together into mega powerful themes and messages. Preachers construct messages from words. I construct messages from sermons. So these messages will be exponentially more powerful than the sermons from which they are constructed. This is what frightens me. This is what I've wrestled with, the idea that I am the curator and that such power and responsibility have been placed into my hands. This is what I've been struggling with the last 6 months of my life. There's no way to avoid being on stage, being out in front, to be the person that hears from God curates such powerful and insightful content and makes it available to those who might be overlooked if this content were not made available to them. I have come to realize this requires a prophetic anointing and a teaching gift. Placing me at the center of such great responsibility is what has scared me most. Early on in this venture, I had a significant focus on the tools rather than what I was to build. Videos, AI, and the written knowledge, the Bible and biblical scholarship, are the primary tools. Before, I was enamored with them, but now I'm seeing that the entire world has access to these tools, and I don't have the resources or the time to distinguish what we're doing by higher levels of mastery of these tools than others. The pace of AI is moving faster than most of us in the world can keep up with. Revelation and the unpacking of the mysteries of the Bible by anointed men and women of God are happening at a prolific rate that I've never experienced in my life, and that I don't believe has ever been experienced in the history of Christendom since the revelation of Yahweh and His plan in the Old Testament. Written knowledge continues to be available at an extraordinary rate, particularly since more masses of people have access to the original and ancient languages that the Bible was written in, and access to the literary tools that help us understand it that were once only available to seminarians and to a very few select group of people. So now, all of our objectives boil down to what we build with these tools, not our fascination with them. Our project has now become a commitment to the gospel, and not to the fascinating tools that will enable us to carry the gospel forward and make it available to the masses. And so, I worry. I don't worry because I fear that our venture won't prosper and create for us returns on the investments we made. I worry because the means by which we'll receive those returns are clearly in the hands of God and center around what we put together that fulfills a mission to make the good news of God's kingdom available to the marginalized and to accelerate the depth and speed at which they can come to understand it. This is not a small endeavor, but it requires a different type of thinking than the way that I thought about this 1 year ago. It makes our audience clearer, our product more specific, and our vision and mission more poignant and clear. What frightens me is that I'm not sure this is what everyone signed up for. Our mission is to make the good news of God's kingdom accessible to the marginalized and accelerate their understanding of it through innovative and non-traditional means. Had this been clearly articulated as the mission from the beginning, who would have signed on? I wonder. If you were to read the PowerPoint presentations by which we presented our mission and the opportunity for investment, it might seem that very little has changed. All of the elements I described above are there: using AI, creating a new way of learning, and not losing sight of the original mission of making the gospel available are all important points, if not pillars, of the original mission and presentation. When I read these documents, I say to myself, very little has changed. But something has changed. What's changed is our purpose. Before, it seemed our purpose was balanced between the spreading of the message of the gospel and creating a new technology, a new way of learning that would impact the world. Now it is clear our mission is spreading the message of the gospel. The technology is the secondary byproduct that will come out of the primary mission that may or may not end up being the prosperity-generating component of what we are doing. What's changed is that we cannot rely on the innovation of new technology as the return on our investment. For sure, we will use AI, video, and the world's written knowledge base as input to produce something that is different from anything that's been seen or that is being produced in the world. But it's the value that we attribute to that that has now changed. The value of the venture that we're taking on lies strictly in the mission to create a message about the gospel of Jesus Christ that satisfies and elevates masses of people today and has an impact into future generations, even when we're gone. This is what I wish I had foreseen up front, what I wish I could have said to you all from day one to make it very clear what we're doing from the start. But coming to this place of understanding has been a year-long journey of trying and succeeding at some things, failing at others, and always asking questions along the way about what we're doing, what is its place in the world, why is it important, and will God bless us for embarking on it. These questions I'll never stop asking as we continue this journey. And now that we have clarity, I believe we can move more quickly and more deliberately towards our mission and into what is next.